On Auschwitz. The history of Auschwitz is exceptionally complex. It combined two functions, a concentration camp and extermination center. Nazi Germany persecuted various groups of people there, and the camp complex was continually expanded and transformed. In the podcast on Auschwitz, we discuss the details of the history of the camp, as well as our contemporary memory of this important and special place. On February 15th, the Polish premiere of the film The Zone of Interest, directed and written by Jonathan Glazer, was held at the Auschwitz Museum. The film, depicting the family life of Auschwitz camp commandant Rudolf Höss, was awarded with the Grand Prix at the Cannes Film Festival and also received two Oscars. The screening was followed by a discussion with the filmmakers, moderated by the Auschwitz Museum director Dr. Piotr Cywiński. I wish to extend a very warm welcome to the filmmakers who are here for this Polish premiere. Jonathan Glazer, the film director, Jim Wilson, the producer, Chris Oddie, the production designer, and we will surely discuss this further, the production design played a huge part, and the two co-producers, Ewa Puszczyńska and Bartek Raiński. I'd like to start by giving Jonathan the floor for some introductory remarks, and then we'll discuss.
Thank you very much for attending today. We've been on a 9-year journey with this project. It began really with an impulse to approach this subject, but we weren't sure precisely how we were going to, what our approach was. We came to visit the museum. Obviously, we were introduced to Dr. Cywiński and some of his fellow historians, some of whom are here this evening. And we began a very rigorous process of research, which included being granted permission to have access into the archives here. We employed two researchers to go into the archives with the brief of any mention from testimony of survivors or any mention of the Höss family, that the police could to dig that out and give it to us, and they did, of course, in fragments. So there were, and in many ways, the film was built from those fragments, and. Obviously, very wide reading that we all did. Another very key book, actually, for this was written by Piotr Sutkiewicz, Private Lives of the SS, which gave us a very important insight into. It brought to life really the realities of local Polish girls, typically who were employed in the families of the SS and the houses of the SS and their families. So bit by bit, we started to create a picture of how these people normalized, of course, what they were doing in order to live as they did, which was obviously really the kind of the center of our task.
9 lat na zrobienie filmu to jest coś niezwykle długiego. Na ogół, kiedy postawisz filmy,
9 years to make a film is exceptionally lengthy. Typically, when it comes to films or projects centered around Auschwitz, it is common for someone to present a nearly finalized script for our review. Subsequently, we assess the feasibility of granting permission for filming, albeit under certain limitations, in order to facilitate a collaborative endeavor. Their astonishment arises when we express the multitude of historical inaccuracies in a film, making cooperation unlikely. Now, I recollect our initial discussion during which you voiced uncertainty about the nature of the film. I mean, I just wanted to understand the content so I could start discussing, and you said it's too early for content. That's why we discuss. To understand, I cannot recall a film where a person comes in with the desire to explore a certain topic but is unsure how to do so and then proceeds to discuss it openly from the start. That is a rare occurrence. After that initial conversation, it must have taken considerable time to determine what needed to be conveyed, how it should be presented, and how best to move the audience. Could you please elaborate on the evolution of this project?
Dochodzić do tego, co chcesz powiedzieć, co chcesz pokazać, czym chcesz ludzi poruszyć. Czy mógłbyś trochę o tym dojrzewaniu tego projektu opowiedzieć?
It starts with a feeling. It always starts with a feeling. And then really you're trying to understand what that feeling, not necessarily why you have that feeling, but what that feeling means and how best to express it. And the film becomes a sort of a structure to present that feeling. So it's a very abstract process, certainly for me, to begin with. And it's a, you know, I begin to share these impulses with my collaborators here. You know, Chris Oddie, who's a longtime collaborator of mine, who's the production designer and a great friend, who built the house and the garden and everything you saw. And Bartek Rynski here is another very great friend of ours who really was the person who did huge amounts of research for us. He was a sort of research producer really locally and obviously built many important relationships that allowed us to make this film here. Ava Paczynska here and Jim Wilson are our two producers. Ava is a Polish producer, obviously, and you know, helped enormously with the entire physical production of what we've made. And Jim Wilson, who is my producer and friend for over two decades, and we began this process very much together, and we're still on the same road. So, sorry, those are who they are. I think, Piotr, to your question, I felt very palpably the place when I first arrived. And I felt that the film had to be about this place and also had to sort of blur the line between then and now, here and there. In other words, a sort of something which somehow felt very live to a film that would feel present tense, not something which we could have a safety from because it was an event that happened so many years ago, but rather almost we were trying to show it as something which was still in our world and still in ourselves as human beings, and not an anomaly, not some event that happened once and couldn't possibly happen again. It felt very important to somehow tell a story about the, you know, our human capacity for violence, and this place and the importance of this place and the, you know, I felt that very, very strongly to begin with. So I think somehow this, everything you saw in the film sort of came from those impulses.
Na pewno, tak jak już mówiłem, ogromną rolę stanowiła scenografia.
Undoubtedly, as stated earlier, a considerable factor was the set design. Starting from the early 1990s, feature films have been prohibited from being shot at the memorial itself. This led to recreate the scenery in a nearby location, which was deemed the most suitable alternative. Our team was bombarded with hundreds of questions. It could have reached up to thousands, involving various forms of communication like emails, phone calls, text messages and so on, regarding the thickness of the wall, the height of the wall, the size of the float, what kind of tree or which radio model to place on a shelf, was it already produced then or not. It bordered on insanity, if I may be candid, because no one had ever questioned us in such detail. I recall when Dr. Piotr Setkiewicz approached me and said, "Hey, they're asking me if Hö's wife could have responded to his question in this manner, and how would I know?" Nevertheless, it was crucial to have this yearning for precision at every stage, and it greatly influenced the setting. Why the need for so much reconstructive certainty to convey such message? This is the question for Chris, of course.
Pewności rekonstrukcyjnej, żeby to przekazać. To jest pytanie do Chrisa, oczywiście.
That's obviously a very good question. I felt like for everything that John has said to kind of underscore the sense of presence, the sense of familiarity, it was key to me to get as much detail absolutely fundamentally true, at least built on truth, So that became the skeleton, really, that made it feel utterly relevant. Why Hedwig had chosen that in her garden was something we can never actually find out. But it was key to me to understand what she'd really done, what impulses, what drew her to make that garden the way it was. And the information I had was obviously from, you know, 20,000 feet above aerial photographs in various weathers, courtesy of the CIA, and everything then that the museum was able to supply to me. And I remember one pivotal moment when I had probably annoyed beyond annoyance of asking yet again for another piece of evidence. What is it you're looking for? And I was unable to answer the question. So I thought, any picture with a horse in it, I remember saying, thinking that that might cast the net so wide that within that I might glean yet more information. And it informed not just what's in the garden, but also what's over the wall. And of course, we never go there in the film, but we hear it. And so lots of that evidence just built up this atmospheric, you have to embody these characters. That was a very difficult task, but you have to get inside them as people to understand what they would have liked to have on that side table and what that kitchen might have been like. And we had obviously testament, as John says, from the private SS, and that was obviously had first-hand accounts of people who, the girls who cleaned the house for them, and that was very good intel. But I just felt constantly like there must be more, and as soon as I understood something from it, I wanted to know more because I wanted it to be as archaeological as possible.
Tak, i to bardzo, bardzo czuć, i powstał film.
Yes, and this is extremely noticeable. The result is a film that is in many ways unique. A film also unique in terms of its shooting style. It would be impractical to have a scene being filmed in a typical house with small rooms, considering the presence of lighting technicians, cameramen, makeup artists, sound engineers, and whoever else in the room. Upon visiting the set, I was surprised to find a dozen or more cameras strategically positioned throughout the house. Next to them, the entire crew was huddled in a container, meticulously reviewing the footage displayed on multiple screens. They collectively determined whether scenes required reshooting or the take was okay. As a result, the house was occupied solely by actors who performed their roles with utmost naturalness. They remained unaffected by the presence of 3 people performing a scene and 30 people walking around with all sorts of equipment, circulating and causing distractions. The authenticity of these scenes is palpable in this film, prompting my question to Jim Wilson, who also coordinated the production aspect of the movie. Could this be considered a glimpse into the future of cinema, where actors are placed in highly authentic scenarios without the entire production crew present? Playing out these scripts, in my opinion, produced a phenomenal result.
Wokół, bo to dało fenomenalny, w moim przekonaniu, rezultat w odgrywaniu tych scen.
The film was entirely shot in Poland. 100%. So that was a key thing. I don't know if it's for me or John or anyone here to speak for the future of all filmmaking. And really, it's a question for John, but I might guess that it's the future of his filmmaking. maybe not. I mean, I don't know, you heard it right. This idea, the way of shooting with lots of cameras to create this sort of immersive present tense feeling. I mean, I think it was a methodology that came as an answer to a question about the ideas in the film. And I think that's always how John works. And I think always these choices across the films he's made and the ones I've been involved with, it's only been 4, but what a 4, are that the methodology comes from an idea, the philosophy of the idea, the ethics, the politics, an intellectual. So here it was this idea of to do a number of things. It was to put the viewer in a position where they could have some kind of, hopefully, identification, even if it was a partial identification with the perspective. There was the best chance of perhaps it reflecting us. And so to be as objective and as clean, and I think, John, you've sometimes used the phrase almost authorless, observational, anthropological, and this methodology allowed the best chance of that, because the closer you are to them, the more people and all the paraphernalia of filmmaking, the more there is around that, the less real it becomes. So I think it was a means to an end rather than this is the future of filmmaking. I mean, I don't know if we can have a conversation among ourselves. I think, John, you enjoy the, in a general way, I think you enjoy that way of filmmaking. It began a little bit in Under the Skin of testing that out, but I guess there could be stories in film that wouldn't need that methodology. What do you think?
I think, as Jim says, it's a response to the task. You know, it's that thing of trying to find its form and content. It's finding a unity of those ingredients, really. And you design things according to the story you're trying to tell, or the way you're trying to tell a story.
I mean, the only thing I was going to add, I think the other feeling it gives you, and John talked about this a lot, and in a way this was a gamble, but of like, will it be like this? Is to have a sense of being in the present tense. So with all these cameras filming at the same time, it means that, I don't know how familiar you are with how films are normally made, whether it be one or two cameras where you shoot the scene and then you stop and you go, you do it again and you move the camera to the other side and you shoot the other angle and then you cut it together. Here, because 10 cameras were capturing everything at the same time, you never had to stop to do that. So everything is being covered at the same time. And when you're watching the film in the edits, what you're watching is happening in real time, in the present tense. So the maid is bringing the glass of schnapps to the terrace out front at the same time as the men are talking, having the meeting about the new crematorium design in the study, at the same time as Hedwig and her friends are having a coffee morning. And all of those things are happening exactly the same time, and you are seeing them in the present tense. And I think, John, you always had a sense that that would create a feeling of you just like a fly on the wall. This was happening before you were there, and it's still happening. And that would feel very modern and present, and not something like an historical film. And that, again, was part of that ethical, political idea of hoping to make us glimpse ourselves, perhaps in an uncomfortable way, in this family.
Tak, i to też bardzo wyróżnia ten film.
Indeed, this is also one of the crucial aspects that sets this film apart. We are among individuals who, to a large extent, have seen multiple films about Auschwitz, whether due to their employment at the museum or proximity to the location. Nevertheless, I wanted to ask Ewa Puszczyńska what, in your opinion and experience, distinguishes this film. In the context of this project, what would you suggest placing in the initial row?
Wysunęła na pierwszy rząd, jeśli chodziło o ten projekt.
Ja myślę, że ten film wyróżnia się, można powiedzieć, wszystkim, dlatego że wszystkie jak gdyby facts and figures.
I think this film stands out, one might say, because all the facts and figures, that is, the numbers, the historical facts about the Holocaust, about the Auschwitz camp, are, one might say, widely known. Or hopefully widely known, right? We hope so. Nevertheless, in Poland, particularly among individuals of my age group, there is a sense that this is part of our DNA. Even though this film does not center around specific facts and figures, it talks about people. Furthermore, it talks about the people John previously mentioned, specifically highlighting the comparison between the present being discussed and our own present. But what can I say to avoid any unnecessary prolongation? The remarkable aspect that I'm certain you've noticed is that we have, in a sense, two films in this case. One film we hear, and another film we see. I believe this to be exceedingly unique, because we do not show the victims. We only show the perpetrators, in this particular light, in these particular situations. Conversely, what we hear and what we see, somewhere in our subconscious, builds up the whole picture of this horror, and that, in my opinion, is all the more frightening. We see an incredible paradise, one might say, right next to hell. And it is only this paradise, right next to the hell we hear, that makes this horror all the more terrifying. Let me say that this film has left a lasting impression on me, and I could go on and on about it. But what sets it apart is its innovative approach and overall uniqueness. Not showing prisoners, not showing physicality. At the same time, these become even more apparent. I consider this to be a highly unusual occurrence for me, one of the very unusual things about this film.
Myślę, że to jest dla mnie takim czymś bardzo niezwykłym. Jedną z bardzo niezwykłych rzeczy dotyczących tego filmu.
Trudno się nie zgodzić. Na początku pamiętam.
It's hard to disagree. Initially, I recall watching the very early version, even here, without any sound. It was essentially a prototype, and I found it intriguing how the wall in the scene symbolized the division between these two worlds. It wasn't until I saw the final version that I realized that this wall doesn't create a division. It is a bridge, a link between these two worlds. Bartek, those individuals who played a role in the production of the film, even if only throughout administrative decisions, deserve a big thank you. Special recognition should be given to the local government officials for their contribution, such as closing the nearby road temporarily. Because it was Bartek who met with these individuals, without whom it would not have been possible to achieve in terms of sound. Bartek practically became, if not a resident, then a regular visitor to Oświęcim for several years, as the film encountered two difficulties along the way. The initial plans for filming were thrown off the track due to the sudden onset of COVID-19, and the subsequent introduction of Brexit only added to these difficulties. In any case, this was the project that you coordinated on site, setting up the necessary conditions to shoot it successfully at every level. However, it also lasted incredibly long and encountered genuine objective challenges. Tell us a bit about it from your experience.
Realne, obiektywne trudności. Opowiedz trochę o tym z swojego doświadczenia.
To znaczy, ja mogę powiedzieć tylko tyle, że ja generalnie przez
COVID played a significant role in the project's delays, especially during the initial phase when we were still getting started with Jonathan. Jonathan and I met in Los Angeles in 2015 when I was living outside of Poland. So I came here for the first time in 2016. Occasionally, I would return home, but most of my time was spent here, and as each year passed, my time here became increasingly longer. It goes without saying that it was associated with the film's preparations, which involved comprehensive research and a meticulous step-by-step approach. At this point in time, I'm present here, and it can be said that Poland, specifically Auschwitz and the memories associated with it, have compelled me to stay.
Film uzyskał, drogi Jonathanie, bardzo pozytywne opinie.
Jonathan, the film has been widely praised, but some have been taken aback by the relative low number of victims depicted and the incomplete portrayal of the Holocaust. The film isn't about the Holocaust. It is in fact an anthropological study. However, it has already received quite a few awards and excellent reviews. Which comments do you typically encounter? Certainly, people discuss the film upon leaving the cinemas. I have experienced it already at numerous screenings in different locations, including Cannes, Paris and New York. People are actually talking. People have been reaching out to me with questions and comments about certain scenes in a way that hasn't happened before with other films. What have you encountered the most often?
I meet very different reactions. I don't think there's any one common one. Sometimes people speak in a sense they want to. It's cathartic for some people. They will. In fact, you and I were on a panel in Paris, and if you remember, a woman stood up at the end, and she wasn't asking a question at all. She was talking about her own family history and the connection to the tragedy of her own family history in regards to Auschwitz. So she didn't have a question at all. She just felt that emboldened to speak about it. So it can range from a cathartic, emotional confession or statement more to political, to kind of trying to understand our world through the prism of this film in some way. My feeling in the way I approach this film and the films that I personally admire and carry with me are films where the viewer, the person watching the film, completes the film. By which I mean it works on a subconscious level. Films that communicate viscerally, that almost go through your gut before they reach your head. And I think this film is that. I hope it is. I feel that it's completed by the viewer. It's one brings oneself to it, and what you get from it is what you bring to it. So I don't think there's. I have questions. People ask me why he's quite often. They ask me why he vomits, for instance, towards the end, which I'm reluctant to answer because I sort of think people know the answer to those questions if they search themselves, that they'll find the answer to questions like that. So, but that's a common question.
W kilku takich dyskusjach brałem właśnie udział.
I've participated in several such discussions in various very different groups, including people who came from families very much affected by Auschwitz. Numerous individuals, not just a few, expressed to me afterwards that they felt compelled to return to the story and the books. The film, in contrast, doesn't provide any extra details, explanations, or a narrator to help the viewer understand. If someone sees this film without prior knowledge of Auschwitz, understanding 90% of what is happening would be very difficult. Were you not concerned that, by presenting the information in a naturalistic manner, akin to that of a pseudo-documentary and not providing much explanation, the significance of hearing shouting from behind a wall to someone who is unaware of the events taking place behind that wall would be lost? Were you not concerned? This is a film for people who know, or for those who can admit that they don't know and go back to the books, to the sources.
Potrafią się przyznać do tego, że nie wiedzą i wrócić do książek, do źródeł.
I think we are, the images for people who are aware of this history, of course, are seared in our minds. So the sounds that you hear in this film, the sonic landscape of this film, those sounds, you know, sound by definition is something is interpretive. So we can see those images in our mind's eye when we hear those sounds. And I think one of the things that struck me about the film so far, in terms of people who have seen the film, is actually how many young people have responded to the film. And I know Jim and I have spoke about that at length. And whether or not, to your point, we would be somehow. Would be missing a very important ingredient by not having, as you say, a narrator or some that, so that you had your hand held through the experience of watching this film. But rather, I think the young people I've spoken to who have seen this film, they feel the film, and I think it's something that you feel, and that leads to maybe people saying, "I'll go and research that history." There, in order for it to have the atmosphere it does, it can't involve exposition. It has to be natural. It has to come from the characters. And I just felt that the experience, the visceral experience of the film, was the thing that would be the most powerful of all. And I think people are largely aware of this, the horror of this place and the history of it, and not in detail at all, but just, you know, in a sweeping sense, they're aware of what it was. But those sounds are so palpable, they're so present, they're so real, that somehow it connects you to the horror in a way that I don't believe a more expositional direction would have achieved.
I was just going to add to what John said, and I completely agree, but a specific thing that maybe connects very much to this place we are in now, the region, is that one part of the film that people sometimes ask questions about in a very intrigued and interesting way is the sequences of the girl in the thermal imaging, the night vision sequences, and what that is about, and asking questions about it. Some, who is she? And some people getting a sense of that. She's a Polish girl based on a real life character who Bartek, I believe, Bartek, you first found Alexandra. And Alexandra was a woman who lived in
Brzeszcze.
I won't say it, and was a real person who John and Bartek found, who emerged from a very specific creative sort of idea and hunger that John had to sort of find a character that would represent something different to the Hosses. And she passed away, she died during the research period, but she came from these parts. Bartek, do you want to tell the story of how you met Alexandra?
Yes, I will speak in Polish. There used to be a museum employee, a lady who specifically worked with filmmakers. Unfortunately, I don't remember her name. John wanted to meet as many survivors as he could at that time. This lady provided us with the names, last name and phone numbers of survivors who lived in Oświęcim and the Oświęcim area. It was customary for the museum to keep in touch with these people and assist them, as far as I recall. I also remembered the lady mentioning that there was another woman who currently lives in Brzeszcze. Although she was never imprisoned, she has an incredible story to tell. Also, she's already 92 years old, so it would be great if we could arrange a meeting with her. Basically, that's how John and I reached her. We were looking for something that could give us hope and shed light on the dark and grim history of Hus that we were uncovering. Our discoveries in connection with him were so bleak that we needed something to brighten up that.
Po prostu potrzebowaliśmy czegoś, co rozświetli tą...
W muzyce to się nazywa kontrapunkt.
In music, it is called counterpoint.
No i tak trafiliśmy do Aleksandry, która...
Yes, and that's how we ended up with Aleksandra. She told us her whole story, and that's how we found the light.
Światło.
Proszę Państwa, no, tą premierą zamyka się pewne koło.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've come full circle with this premiere. A specific chapter in history has reached its final stage. It's somewhat unfortunate, as we might have few chances to meet, or perhaps not at all. Somehow, over the course of 9 years, we have grown acquainted and developed a friendship. Finally, I want to thank everyone for your empathy and willingness to listen, comprehend, and come up with practical and genuine solutions. The film went all out to achieve a high level of authenticity. This is a matter of great importance to us, particularly during these times when it predominantly exists in the realm of books, save for a film adaptation that has been made, offering a fictionalized account loosely rooted in the historian context of Auschwitz. Your exceptional ability and the trust that has been established have resulted in a level of quality that, in my opinion, surpasses that of many previous films about Auschwitz. Specifically, I'm referring to those that have occurred within the past 20 to 30 years. I want to express my heartfelt gratitude for your presence at our joint Polish premiere and for spending this evening with us. Thank you most sincerely.
Thank you.
All episodes of the On Auschwitz podcast are available at auschwitz.org/podcasts. We kindly ask you to support our mission and share our podcast in social media.